yesterday, going about our business, planning the cookouts, getting ready to mow the grass, just la-da-da-da-da. We got Friday's going to be a fun day into the weekend. All of a sudden, we hit it. Hey, Mike Duggan's out of the race. What? That came out of nowhere. Who was expecting that? My pal John Selleck from Harbor Strategic Public Affairs. You probably saw this coming, didn't you? Huh? Hey, good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Mike. I didn't know you off all thing. That's a new thing for me.
Oh, I'll come over.
So, you've got a long weekend. You can do that. But yeah,
there you go.
I think none of us were betting on the prediction markets that Mike Duggan was going to drop out of the race. At least not this soon, that's for sure. This weekend leads into what's called the Mackinac Policy Conference, and it's a massive thing where all the power players in Southeast Michigan and around the Capitol, Lansing, all head up to the island. I'm sure they eat some fudge, but they have very important policy meetings and talk through big issues. And Mike Duggan was endorsed by the Detroit Chamber of Commerce. They put that event on. And this coming few days after Memorial Day was supposed to be like a big coronation and kickoff to the summer campaigning. And instead, he pulled the plug and went home. And it has really shocked a lot of people. And when you look at his campaign, you know, Mike, I like to think of maturing and I look at things in the big picture. Not get involved in all the little fights, so I claim. But the campaign was very interesting in that we're talking about it today. Everyone's talking about it today. That was a shockwave that he quit. It was a shockwave when he got in as an independent. Nobody was expecting that either. And he kind of proved that there is a pathway for the right person, if they have the resources, to carve out a pretty good chunk of the electorate. He was consistently getting around 20 to 25% of the polling, but you know, he saw things heading downward and didn't want to fake it at this convention coming up and decided to pull the cord.
So, you know, for people who were really going, all right, finally someone on neither side of the aisle, someone right there, they're, you know, not going to answer to anybody and on, where do they go now? What are they going to do? Is he gonna, what's he going to do for them?
His theory of the case may have lost steam was that when he got in the race, you know, if you can believe it, governor's race has now last 2 years. So he was in the race a year and a half already. You know, you start off when no one's paying attention, but you've got to get out ahead of your competitors. And that's what these four people have to do to run for governor. All of them, doesn't matter what party you're in, you've got to kill yourself to get to the finish line and not even win necessarily. But when he got in, there was a lot of frustration with partisanship and could we just get some stuff done? But a lot of stuff's happened since then, and especially the Iran war, the Gaza Palace, the Israel debate, the oil prices, the gas prices, everything that's going crazy. You know, my line has been the Democrats haven't been uniting the Democrats. President Trump has been uniting the Democrats. The economy is pushing them all together, and the ability to take Democrats from the party by Mike Duggan as an independent was slipping out of his hands. And he said as much. That's what he saw, too. That's what independent polling saw. All of a sudden, he was taking more Republican votes than Democrat votes. And my theory is that that is because where we are right now in politics, Democrats are kind of rallying together to oppose President Trump. I mean, if you watch what's happening in the U.S. Senate primary for Democrats, they're beating each other over the head. They're not pulling the party together. The Democrats aren't seemingly doing that, but the president is helping him have a singular rally cry. And that effect on that is to hurt independent candidacy.
And isn't that something? I don't know that I remember ever in my voting life, and I'm an old man, as you know, John, is that when has it ever been on a national level, it's not so much what a guy does or stands for, it's more so anybody but that guy. You see what I'm saying on the other side?
Yeah.
Well, it's not anybody but that guy. I don't think I've ever seen this. So let me get back to Mike Duggan. Do you think he's going to be involved in anybody's campaign? Is he going to endorse anybody?
That would be really interesting to watch what he does next. So there's a million rumors floating around, and you know that's what happens in politics. A vacuum invites a lot of rumors, and there's all kinds of theories of, you know, could he be appointed as the interim president of the University of Michigan as they're searching for a new president? Is he going to go do some other kind of policy job? He's also 67 years old. Maybe he'll think, you know, I've had enough of this. I put my cards on the table. I worked as hard as I could for a year and a half, and it wasn't there. We don't know, but it would be a little weird if he suddenly switched back to being a Democrat, because he spent all this time kind of bashing on their kind of politics, and he's never been a Republican before, and it's kind of questionable whether Republicans, especially the MAGA wing, would ever accept him. But he clearly positioned himself to be way more moderate and way less Democrat than he had been. It's just that he was in politics for so long as a Democrat, it'd be kind of strange to watch him completely flip. So I think that is a million-dollar question, but I get the feeling that he doesn't know what he's doing next. But I think, like I was saying a minute ago, when we just step back in our mature years and look at the bigger picture, it's pretty fascinating that he showed that there is a way to get in there and cause a great effect. He was,
yep.
His candidacy was, you know, a real problem for Democrats. They're very worried about that. And if he had the kind of money, say, that Perry Johnson had, I don't think we would have saw him get out. He would have taken the risk that he could stay in and have a shot at it. I just think the money was starting to dry up as the poll numbers were changing.
And one thing I think he did do, this candidacy, because he did, he was, like you said, he was doing quite well. I think he's paving the way. We've seen this the last couple of cycles. It's paving the way for people who are getting fed up with partisanship. We always say we are, but then we vote one way or the other, the two-party system, yada, yada. Boy, did he pave the way for somebody maybe younger and next time around, who knows? Could be an independent race.
That's right. And, you know, and I mean, what we were talking about here under my theory is that the economy, tariffs and the war and all the things driving prices up, like the higher prices everybody will pay on their the food for the barbecues this weekend is what helped drive him up, because it helped unify Democrats against him. And that's why we were talking about this issue with the Michigan Smart Trade Alliance, Mike, because you can see across the board that all the kind of things that we would buy, not only just the hot dogs and the hamburgers, even the mustard, even especially the grill tools made out of any kind of aluminum or steel that's imported from other countries, those prices are going up. And, you know, we're still out here talking on behalf of the Smart Trade Alliance, trying to encourage our congressmen and our local elected officials. We need to talk to them. And Congress is the one that has the power to take control of tariff policy, to get it in place, to make it more consistent, to reduce tariffs on countries that we really rely on in Michigan. Our number one trading partner, no surprise, is Canada, right across the water from us. We need to get these tariffs stabilized and reduced so that these kind of prices don't keep going up. And the only way to do that is that when you see out at a parade this weekend, your local state representative or senator or candidate for those offices, or you're a member of Congress, tell them so that they are empowered with local information and take that back to Washington with them.
I don't know if a parade's a good place to do that, John. They're going to go, yeah, yeah, thanks a lot. Here's some candy. But, you know, give them a call.
I don't think the candy is going to pacify people this year.
Probably not. Probably not. John Selleck's with us. Harbor Strategic, but also the let's stay with this Michigan Smart Trade Alliance, pretty much what it says. There is a way to do tariffs. That's the big problem. And, John, is it's just been kind of sporadic and unpredictable. That's the problem there.
And
like you mentioned, Canada's our pal. They're our buddies.
Right, and we're kind of like giving each other a cold shoulder, like after you get in a fight with your friend and you give them the silent treatment. We're kind of going through that. But, you know, it's amazing the number of things we depend on from them. Like, I didn't even know this until recently, mustard. Mustard seed, that is the basis of mustard, the vast majority of it comes from Canada. So we have to import it. And when we place tariffs on it, because we're essentially in a spat about this, suddenly we're paying more just to put mustard on your hot dog. Like, that's kind of bonkers. Potato chips, same deal, rising in cost. Lettuce that we put on our burger, if you put lettuce on your hot dog, that's unusual, but that's fine, it's cool. Those are up 20%, 17% in price. Tomatoes up 18%. We import a lot of those, conversely, from the south, from Mexico. And we put the tariffs on them, too. They are our main trading partners. There's a lot of things that we depend on with them. We just need Congress to step in and stabilize the situation. You're absolutely right, Mike. Tariffs have a role, absolutely, especially for national security, or if we have somebody, you know, illegally dumping things on America, undercut our own homegrown industries. We want strong homegrown industries. But we're kind of just like in a battle and a tit-for-tat constantly. We've seen just this morning the agriculture industry in America has lost $15 billion profits last year because they can't sell their soybeans to other countries anymore.
Yeah, I can't imagine being a farmer today having to deal. It's like every day you got a different thing economically, you've got to try to adjust. I'm surprised all of our, a lot of our, but not a lot. I don't know what percentage you said there, but potatoes coming from someplace other than Idaho? I thought they all came out of Idaho.
Well, we got things that move all across the borders. We have specialty items like beer. You know, the most popular beers in America now are made in Mexico.
No. Well, yeah, that's true. Modelo, that's like the number one thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing you think about, even if you buy domestic and you buy it in a can, they jacked up the tariffs on aluminum, and that comes from other countries. And so every can that you buy of beer is more expensive, even if the beer itself is made here in America without tariffs on it.
John, all of your beer should be in glass. What are you doing?
I agree. Personally, I agree with that 100%.
Schlitz beer will no longer be made.
And that makes the cost higher when we put the tariffs on aluminum steel.
Yeah. Did you know about that? Schlitz beer is no longer around. It's not going to be made anymore?
I saw that. I did see that headline. And we see these old-time brands kind of like having a retro-style renaissance sometimes. And that one finally met its own. It's too bad.
Yeah,
you better go out and find a couple this weekend and drink them in their honor.
There you go. And well, I'm going to buy them and keep them as collector's items right next to my Billy beer on my wall in the compound there. I don't know. Oh, John, what are you doing? Are you cooking? You going away? You letting somebody else do the cooking this weekend?
Well, right now I'm planning to mow the lawn, which I haven't for like 8 days. So it's like
you better hurry up.
I'm just
I did it yesterday.
Like, is 8 days fair time to start mowing, or is that mean still? Is that too early?
No, I've mowed like three. This was my third time yesterday to mow. Now, if it's growing, you got. I go by my neighbor. My neighbors all have pristine yards. Me, I don't care. So I got to do mine just so they don't look bad. But that's
right,
it. Hey, John, we're up on time.
At least the minimum level.
We're gonna get to the disturbing Nick Nurbin and travel around Michigan next. I always appreciate it, though, John. Thanks a lot for jumping on with us.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
See you, buddy.